All things considered, we were in a pretty jovial mood as we sped up the highway. Adnan was telling tall tales about Saddam and his family, most of which I knew were untrue, but I let him ramble, not wanting to provoke a man who held my life in his hands. Conversely, I thought he was watching me for any hint that I was losing my nerve. I knew he'd drop me in a second if I jeopardized his safety. It had been difficult enough to convince Adnan of my bona fides. Since Firas had introduced us 3 months earlier, Adnan had been studying me carefully, coming to our house for food and drink, talking about everything under the sun without committing himself to an escape, much less a departure date. He could not comprehend why a man of my position and affluence would want to leave Iraq. The people he took out were usually hardship cases, people in imminent danger or serious distress. A comfortable senior official like me spelled trouble. What finally tipped the scales in my favour was my relationship with Ali. Adnan knew him well, and our close friendship ultimately convinced Adnan to help me. I was heartened by Adnan's extraordinary caution. Betrayal by close friends and colleagues was routine in Iraq. People sometimes turned in friends out of fear they were being tested. Everyone knew the story of Amal al-Mudarris, probably the best-known personality on Baghdad radio, a woman who had covered the news in an especially clear and cultured voice that endeared her to the educated elite. Her insistence on presenting the news objectively won her a wide following, especially among those of us who were aware of the depth of Saddam's lies and repression. Her demise was instructive. Saddam's wife, Sajida, began calling her with complaints that she wasn't covering newsworthy events, mostly those extolling her husband, of course. The calls became more frequent, annoying, even crude. One day, al-Mudarris, talking with some long-time friends at the station, remarked that Sajida was unfit to be Iraq's first lady. One of her colleagues slipped away from the table and called her husband at the Ministry of Information. A few minutes later, the station was surrounded, and security officers hauled al-Mudarris away. After a round of torture, she confessed to what she had said and was sentenced to death. After she was hanged, her tongue was cut out and delivered to her family. Even a wife could not be trusted. A point Saddam himself made on television one day, a woman had reported that her husband had become so angry at the sight of Saddam's face on TV that he had cursed the image and tossed something through the screen. Saddam praised the woman for informing on her husband and reminded his viewers that insulting the presidency, even in the privacy of one's own home, was a crime punishable by death. When he failed to announce a draconian sentence, many people were impressed by his restraint, but a friend later told me what happened. The husband was arrested on Saddam's orders and beaten within an inch of his life.